Why don't you turn to Leviticus chapter 15. It's great that, we covered chapters 13 and 14, leprosy. That it's very evident. It's something that you can see at a distance even. If people are missing, fingers and their teeth are sucked up into their head and their nose is missing. And, there's a whole lot of evidence, physical evidence and, blotchy, white blotches and all kinds of stuff that happens from leprosy. They talked about it on fabrics. They talked about it on housing structures. They talked about all this stuff. So it's real evident, when you see it. And that's a type of, as we went across over it in scripture, it's a type of sin. And it's evident to everybody. You see it coming down the street, you yell, across the other side, it's all evident. What we're talking about tonight is kind of interesting because when you look at this, this is kind of the flip side of that. This is stuff that's not as evident. It's more in the private parts, literally, and it's in the secret places, in a sense, and that's where sometimes we find sin, So, and as we talk about this, you'll see why we address it this way, because some of this is specifically that, some of it is not, and we will address it and be clear about which one is and which one's not when we get to those aspects of it. But to think about it in those lights kind of reminded me of a particular scripture out of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24. You might really want to jot some of these down. Some of these you can turn to, but some of this you might just jot down and then review it later. But the Bible says there, Paul telling Timothy, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. There's some things that are just real evidenced, that there's a problem or there's this situation, in somebody's life. It's just very clear and it's evident. And then there's other circumstances that we don't know. We don't know what everybody's thinking. We don't know what all the inward struggles are that somebody's struggling with their own private life and their walk. And so this is kind of dealing with some of the more private parts and the issues that come into play sometimes, or if you're willing, even secret sins. And we'll hopefully draft at the conclusion some good application, to all this when we get, as a body of believers, how we can apply some of this both personally and individually. Verse 1 of chapter 15, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness in regard to his discharge, whether his body runs with a discharge or his body is stopped up by his discharge, it is uncleanness. So this is whether it's actually a flowing discharge or whether it's stopped for a little while or whatever, it's an uncleanness. Every bed is unclean on which he who has a discharge lies, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who sits on anything on which he who has a discharge sat shall wash his clothes, bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. And he who touches the body of him who has the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And if he who has the discharge spits on him who is unclean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Any saddle on which he has the discharge rides shall be unclean. Whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. He who carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whomever the one who has the discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes, bathe in water, and be unclean until evening. The vessel of earth that he who has the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he who has the discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, and bathe his body in running water, and then he shall be clean. On the eighth day he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons, and come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and give them to the priest. And the priest shall offer them The one is a sin offering, and the other is a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord because of his discharge. So this is why you look at this. It's not talking about something that is just, we'll get into the other ones as we go through this, but this is discussing something that's specifically, and there's some commentators that think different things about it as to its origin. But it seems to me that it's pretty clear that this is, and this is what most of the commentators believe this to be the case, is that it is something that's an STD. It's some kind of a sexually transmitted disease. It's some kind of a venereal disease of sorts. And the reason you can say that somewhat with confidence is because when you get to this part of it, it talks about specifically offering up for a sin offering, which has caused the uncleanness. And so this kind of starts to set things apart a little bit, because as we read through some of it, it isn't, those offerings aren't made that way. This is a sin offering is offered up, and then also an offering is made that is just a burnt offering. So one is like the sin offering is for the confession, the confession of sin, and basically from the person's life, coming clean before the Lord, in that sense. And then the other is a consecration, that being set apart, that, man, I'm setting my life apart to the Lord, so on and so forth. When you think about these kind of things, and again, I know it's a little bit, it's a little bit gruesome to some extent, and it's a little unpleasant to discuss this type of stuff. But this is real life. I mean, this is real life. And this is, again, we saw the leprosy as a type of sin, very outward, very apparent, very clear. But what about the things as a type of sin that's not so, that's more of a, in a secret place? What about the jealousies? What about the lusts? What about the different things that everybody has to deal with? It's humanity. We all live, sometimes I think it's so funny as Christians, we kind of, just like that doesn't run through somebody else's mind. Come on. We're people. We struggle with things. We've got to be upfront and honest. God knows. We've got to be honest with the Lord. It's not something we want to, I'm not saying we ought to spend all our time on having conversations on the topics, but what I am saying is that we certainly want to be washed and cleansed. We want these things dealt with in our lives. A couple of scriptures that we might think about here. One of them is in Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. David knew that there are secret faults. There are secret sins. There are things that are there. And who can understand those errors, or how do those become revealed? And then it goes on. He goes on in chapter 51 of Psalm. And this is after Nathan had come to him and had kind of exposed that situation that happened with Bathsheba, remember, when Nathan had come and talked to David. And this is one of the Psalms that he'd written post that, chapter 51, verse 1. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." And you say, well, gosh, if his moms, if they were, solid, let's say, with God, were our kids conceived in sin? Listen, we live in a fallen world. The answer is yes, because we live in a fallen world. When children are born, they're born with a sin nature. That's reality for Christians and for non-Christians, That's just the nature's there. Now what we have the opportunity to do as Christian parents is to bring them up in the admonition and the training of the Lord. So we have this opportunity to bring them up in the Lord. But the reality is, and we'll talk about this a little bit further, that even, beautiful, good things are still seen in that light. I mean, that's still the reality of it. Because we live in a fallen world. So he says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom." That's pretty cool, huh? You know, in the inward part, there is that inward parts of all of us that, man, only you and God may know, you know, some things. And you know what? Whenever we talk about anything like this, for me, it's always best whenever we deal with stuff, God always wants to keep it to the fewest people possible because he knows people are lame, you know? We're all lame. So he wants to keep it to the fewest. If you've got issues, things you're struggling with, which we all do, when you have those things, bring them before the Lord and deal with them. These things, when something happens, this person in this situation got cleansed ultimately, right? Because they took something and were able to offer it to the Lord. Hypothetically, this situation, there is hope for cleansing, right? That's what this describes. There's hope for a healing from this. So that's true about inward sin. Sometimes people say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I think. That's just how. No, negative. Once we give our lives to the Lord, we're a new creation in Jesus Christ. So there is hope for all of us is the point. The key is, am I willing to bring things in honesty and transparency, which God already knows anyway? Am I going to, in my own prayer time, in our own prayer time, in our private time with God, are we willing to let God search our heart and let him expose that stuff, confess that? God wants to keep it the fewest people possible. And that's you and him. And move on. Just move on in the Lord. Confess and roll on. Confess it and roll on. That's life. That's the Christian experience. I think oftentimes this isn't something that's discussed. It's just kind of something that's overlooked. But we're called to be overcomers, not overlookers. You know what I mean? So we want to overcome this situation. How do we do that? Well, we want to be washed. We want to be cleansed. And we know that in the inward parts, sometimes there's times where we really need the Lord to help us. You desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me. And I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You know, we sing that, but now look at it in the context of it. He's broken from his own sin. He knows what he's done and he's confessed it, you know, and he's broken over it because he knows he's violated his relationship with the Lord. It's brought hurt, you know, between him and the Lord. You know, sin causes a separation between us and God. And the only way to correct that, whenever that happens, is to get right with God. And the only way to get right with God is to confess that before the Lord. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So the key is that we're open with the Lord and we've just confessed that openly and honestly, because I think sometimes these things can be very destructive as matters of conscience. You know, I think matters of conscience, you know, in things in our private personal lives where we, you know, if we're not dealing with it, it can start to become a matter of conscience. It can kind of plague you. And so you want to get that right with God. And the only way to get that right with God, just confess it and move on. And, you know, it really troubles me, you know, when anybody ever goes on a pious bus ride with this, you know. Piety doesn't help with any of this. The reality is we are sinners, all of us. We've been saved by God's grace. This is unpleasant to discuss, but the reality is it's not just this specific STD that this person is dealing with in this, let's say, but it's that inward part of us that's tainted, and we just need to constantly get that washed and cleansed by the Lord. We're forgiven, past, present, and future sin. The key is appropriating the blood of Jesus Christ on those areas. You know, that's why, you know, yeah, sin was done away with on the cross, but that doesn't mean I don't sin, right? Doesn't mean that we don't. I won't just use myself as an example. That's a bit, incriminating, huh? But it's true, you know. It's true for all of us. And so we want to deal with that openly and in a forthright way. So now he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. You know, a lot of times, I mean, for years, I thought that was restoring to me the joy of my salvation. You know, I didn't pay much attention. Of course, when we were learning a lot of the worship songs, there was no screen, there was no nothing. They just didn't do it that way then. It was, you had to get in there, better memorize them, and get with the program, because that was the only way you got to know. But it's not restore unto me the joy of, you know, of my salvation. It's restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, that which you've provided through your Son, Jesus Christ, that joy of the salvation that's ours in the Lord. That's an inward thing. We want that restored in our lives all the time. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Pretty cool how, you know, at the end result of all this, you know, after there's that purging and that cleansing, that washing of our lives, man, we're ready for service again. You know, we're ready to get out there, not share. What's so great about identifying with any of this? These are some of my quick quippets of benefits, okay? Some of the benefits of identifying with some of this is it keeps us in reality with anybody that we're talking to. Because real people, as we know, have real problems. So when we're interacting with other real people, you know, that may not know the Lord, when we are able to share on a transparent level, you know, I've struggled with things, I've had problems, but man, I'm so thankful, man, I'm forgiven. I'm so thankful that God's there to wash and cleanse my heart. I don't carry around the guilt in the shame, you see, because it was done away with. It doesn't mean we don't sin and that we don't need to confess, because we do. But I don't have to carry the burden and the guilt and the shame of it because it was done away from the cross. Now, that's not license to sin, you know. We don't want to, because that's the grace of God, right? So we don't want to, you know, take the grace of God and then use it as a cloak for vice, as a covering to do whatever I want. Because you hear some of that too. I'm kind of playing both ends against the middle a little bit so you can see, you know, the sides that people use on this. Because you'll hear all of this. You know, people say, well, that's okay, you know, I can do that tonight because, you know, I can be forgiven tomorrow morning. Wow. I think that's pretty risky business, because where do you really stand with the Lord? Our objective is to find out how close I can get in my relationship with the Lord, not how much can I sin and still be saved. You see, two different objectives. Do I want to find out what I can do and still have salvation, or do I want to find out how close can I draw to the Lord and maintain fellowship with God? You know, so when you look at it in this light, it's kind of helpful. We need that washing and cleansing that comes from the Lord, that direction that he can, those things that he can do for us. Let's look at the 119th, Psalm 119. It's one of the shortest psalms that you'll find, so we'll just read through all of it. Just kidding. Page after page after page. Verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. It's a good thing, huh? How can we be cleansed? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the word is one of those things that really is necessary for us and to help us and to wash and cleanse us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. It's that washing of the water, the word. Ephesians 5, verse 26. It's that washing that Paul described for as a husband. You know, the husband is to, you know, spend time in the word with the wife. It's the washing of the water of the word he describes. So there's that cleansing. A lot of times we talk about, you know, well, I've been reading, I'm not getting much of it, I don't understand much of it, but there's a lot happening there that's behind the scenes that we don't always know, that God's washing and cleansing our hearts, you know, purging things out of our lives. And so I think that's kind of cool to remember. You know, I look for the nuggets just like you do. Believe me, we're looking for it tonight, you know. We're trying to find something here that we can, you know, go gold mining for, you know. And it's there, though, but we just got to look for it. And God will minister to our hearts, even in chapters that are a little more difficult to go through. Then also we found in John's Gospel, Chapter 13, this is a familiar passage. We've talked about it even recently. But in verse 8, remember when Jesus, you know, at supper, you know, got the girded himself and, you know, started cleaning the disciples' feet. And he gets to Peter, of course. And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." He said, "I'll just take a whole bath then, you know." And Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet." In other words, he says, "But is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." And he talked about the one, the betrayer. But he's saying, you know, we're washed. We've been bathed in the Lord. We're forgiven. But we still need to get our feet washed. You know what I mean? We still need to let the Lord. And so I think part of that's kind of the ministry. One of the things that Jesus does. And again, now you'd have to go into John's gospel and you have to look, okay, so who is Jesus? Jesus is the living word, right? So if he's the living word, the word washes and cleanses. What do we want to let Jesus do? Through the word, we want to let him wash, you know? And it's so great how we can let that happen just from going through the word, just reading, isn't it? And you don't even really, there's nothing really happening but that we even are aware of, but God's doing something in his spirit, washing and cleansing our innermost parts. And it's great. And so we want to receive that and know that the Lord's able to do that in our lives. You know, a lot of times when I talk with people, there's usually three main things that I ask people about when they come in and want to talk about issues. This is what we're talking about, issues. So when someone has an issue of any sort and they need to talk about that issue, a lot of times I'll say, so, you know, how's your prayer life? You know, that starts to give a little bit of an indicator. Well, you know, I pray a little bit and this and that. Okay, how's devotions going? How's your time, you know, with in the Word and your time spending time with Jesus, you know? Okay. And then fellowship is also then hit and miss usually. That answers all my questions. It answers all their questions. But the thing is a lot of times we are so stubborn and rebellious as people. We won't do what God wants us to do that benefits us so much. You see? It benefits us. God puts it in there for us, for our well-being. You know, prayer, fellowship, the Word of God. These are the three main ingredients, and then the breaking of bread, communion. You know, and I think, honestly, partaking of the Lord's table is a very important aspect of it. Because, not because the elements themselves do anything for me in that sense, but what it represents. I'm identifying. It says, don't take this in an unworthy manner. And really, if you go through that and break it down, it's really saying, give worth to what it represents is really what it's saying. It's not just, God knows we're who we are. We're sinners saved by grace. God already knows that. All the more reason a lot of times we need to partake of the Lord's table, you know, because we've got things that we're struggling with, because we need strength. We need the power of you, God, upon our lives. We need we need a transfusion, his blood coursing through our veins, you know. So all four of those, and you read in Acts, when you go through Acts 2:42, you find out those are the four main ingredients that are a healthy Christian and a healthy body of believers. And so I really encourage you, you know, think through those things. And when you talk with people, that's the kind of things that we should be talking about. I don't need to know all the details of people's problems. I just don't. Because really, if you go to those four things, pretty much you can say, why don't you try that? Let me pray with you about the struggle and then do this. And if they will do this, most often it starts to purge out and work out all the difficulties because it starts clearing things out. I'm starting to identify them with the right heart. I'm praying. I'm connecting with God. I got the right heart. My interaction is good. Dining on his word. I'm getting washed and cleansed. There's more of God and less of me coming into my life. So Jesus being the living word, do we let Jesus wash our feet? And I think sometimes when we sit and read the word, that's really what's going on. Jesus is coming along and washing our feet, you know, in the inmost parts. He's just cleansing us. It's great. Great things to contemplate. So get into the word. You know, that's really what it's all about. Get into the word for all of us, isn't it? Get into the word. That's why as a church, that's why we focus on this. That's why we emphasize this for our own Bible study times. And, you know, that's why we do this is because there's so much benefit to us as Christians when we start to grow and develop. You know, and I find a lot of times, not only reading, but I listen to a lot. I listen to the Word a lot. You can listen to straight just Bible reading. There's that all available. You've got all kinds of resources available like that. There's, you know, light overview stuff. There's in-depth stuff. There's all kinds of things you can listen to that's just clearly just the Word going into your life. What great benefits, untold benefits for us. So, if any man, so that's STD number one. Now we'll go on. If any man has an emission of semen, then he shall wash his body in water and be unclean until evening. And any garment and any leather on which there is semen, it shall be washed with water and be unclean until evening. Also, when a woman lies with a man and there is an emission of semen, they shall bathe in water and be unclean until evening. You say, okay, well, so, you know, why is a husband and wife, you know, because this is what it's basically discussing here, why is that make somebody unclean? To, you know, okay, again, we live in a fallen world. You know, it's just, we live in a fallen world. It's, the marriage bed is undefiled. You know, the Bible's clear about that. It's all fine. That's not the issue. The issue is that God sees that as something that's unclean. It's just that simple. It's not a big deal. It's not a bad thing. God designed it. It's all good, you know, in that sense. But there's also the aspect of when you read through, you go a little bit further, you find, well, there's no sin offering, no burnt offering. Why? Because there's no sin. There's no sin involved. That's not the issue. We live in a fallen world is the real reality of it. A lot of what we do is part of living in a fallen world, you know? And God knows that. But nonetheless, we know that Hebrews 13:4, marriage bed undefiled. We know Romans 8:22 talks very clearly about the fact that we live in, the earth is groaning to be put back in its original condition and state of being, right? It's not what it was originally was. Neither are you, neither am I, neither are we. We're not what we were originally in the perfection that we were designed in, are we? There's no way. You know, if a woman has a discharge, plus we're trying to communicate this from Old Testament law, New Testament Christianity. You know, so we're doing a lot here as we're going through this. So we're kind of making some conversions as we go along. If any woman has a discharge, and the discharge from her body is blood, then she shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. And this is speaking of basic cycle. This is what we're talking about here. So this is just the basic a woman's cycle. Everything that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also, everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Whoever touches anything that she sat on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If anything is on her bed or anything on which she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lies with her at all, so that her impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. So, the quick version of this, which is what we'd want to do, certainly that's what I would want to do, the quick version of all of this is... my face is just slowly, I can feel it getting warmer and warmer. Not turning too red yet, but... quick version of this is wow, guys, verse 24, maybe give your wife a break. That's I don't know how else to say it any more clearly than that. Give them some space and give them a break, you know? It's a great design that God made, and... Yeah, yeah, the gospel according to. But that's basically what it says. If you, you know, get real simple with it, that's basically what it says. No, you know, that's the uncomplicated part of it. So, gosh, great, let's move on. Verse 25. Verse 25, if a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary purity, she shall be unclean. You know, you can't go in the synagogue, it's bad. You remember we read about this in Luke chapter 8, and other places in the Gospels, but where it talks about the woman who had the issue, remember, she reached out and, oh, if I could just touch the hem of his garment and so on and so forth, I'd be healed. And you remember that? Jesus then, you know, healed and she said, hey, something went out from me, you know, and hey, listen, you know, who touched me? Lord, how can we know? There's a large crowd of people here. Everybody's pressing in on you. How do we know who touched you? Well, something went out, you know. So it's kind of cool how that all happened, and she was healed and stuff. We went over that not too long ago in going through Mark's gospel. But this is something, again, likely possible, connected to like the period or anything like that. That's not what this is talking about here. This is talking about something entirely different. This is talking about, again, most likely some type of an STD. That's what it's talking about. And so the reason we go through that is because at the conclusion, we'll see the same kind of end result. Every bed on which she lies, the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity. Whatever she sits on, she says all the same basic stuff as the other. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Now, the thing is, you know, what's real for a woman, the other thing that's very difficult in their culture, ladies, guys, this is kind of crazy and pretty intense about this, is for them, you know, if she doesn't get healed, the reality is her husband will divorce her because she's unclean. And now she's put out. Because those were the rules, you know. They could, you know, I divorce you. We just talked about this, you know, and different schools of thought. But basically, this was what happened, you know. It was interesting on that. And this is another quippet side note. You know how it comes up and they talk about, well, there's no way when they talked about the uncleanness they could be talking about adultery, because for adultery they were brought out and stoned and killed. So the uncleanness meant something other than something more like this, you see, when we read about it in Mark's gospel. For what reason can a man divorce his wife? Well, if he finds any uncleanness. Adultery is not in that realm, because if you got caught in an act of adultery, you're taken out and stoned, you're killed. So there was no, you know, there's no need for divorce then, you know. It's interesting. So uncleanness, this is a good example of what an uncleanness situation could be that she could be divorced for. And then we went as far as burnt toast or any other thing, you know. Or I found somebody that I liked better, so she's unclean compared to her. Those were the rules, stretched that far across the gamut. It's crazy. Anyway, I guess that's really a lot different than today, huh? That's what I thought too. Not much difference. So this idea here is something that's much more involved, again, more, you know, like an STD thing. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, then she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean, and on the eighth day she shall take herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and bring them to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the priest shall offer the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. So it's the same as what we saw before, and the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for the discharge of her uncleanness. So, regular cycle, yes, uncleanness, same with discharge for men, you know, both were the same, right? But they were a natural, God-designed thing, everything's fine, right? No sin offering, no burnt offering, nothing, right? The other two at the other ends of this, when we started with the men with the discharge and we finished with the women with the discharge, that were from something else, there was more of a sin issue, right? So there's things that are more chronic. You get what I'm saying? There's things that just are part of a natural life that can bring some element of uncleanness, right? But that's just, you just deal with that, right? There's some things that are on the other side of the spectrum. You start to see this now. On the other side of the spectrum, that are a little, it's a chronic issue. You know? You weren't quite factual about something. God busts you in your heart, you know it, you confess it, you move on. And you keep doing this over and over again, there might be a problem, you know? Now we're going to have to call you a liar. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't like there was just some, it's all lying, right? We all agree with that. One is like, wow, this is a chronic issue. You know, you actually contemplate this, you work through this, you develop a scenario. Now you've got a real chronic problem. You see? Guys, gals, you notice someone that's attractive or something, and you notice that person, and then, what do you do with that? That's where you get into trouble. Noticing someone's attractive, that's normal. People do that. People notice other people, okay? But you get what I'm saying? It's where you go with all these things that start becoming issues and trouble for people, for all of us. And so we got to keep that stuff right in our hearts before the Lord and understand those things and understand your own tendencies, you know? Understand where you're at, understand your own tendencies so that you can grow and develop in those things, you know? So the sin offering was offered again, as we saw before. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanness, lest they die in their uncleanness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. It's interesting, isn't it? That it's kind of like what we talked about the house of God, and that there's many stones, and that, you know, when we talked about this in a recent study, and we talked about the leprosy. That's a lot more of an apparent thing, right? This, again, when we talk about it, you bring this stuff, we bring this stuff. There's the things that we are dealing with between us and the Lord. Good. Keep dealing with it between you and the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's great. There's things, though, that people aren't dealing with, and now they start bringing them into the tabernacle. Backbitings. If you got a trouble with that and you're dealing with that, gossiping, whatever it is, if you got struggle with that and you're dealing with that, keep dealing with it. Deal with it between you and the Lord. You don't want to keep bring that into the tabernacle, right? You don't want to bring that into the, you don't want to keep, you know, barfing that up on everybody else, you know? You see what I'm saying? It's a mess. It's not healthy. It's not godly. It's not what God wants us to do. And so it says, separate those things, you know, keep the uncleanness, you know, identify it. Because what it does is, think about the deaths of relationships that happen because of that. You know, the he said, she said, maybe they said, I don't know what they really said, but I said they said, and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, all the junk that goes on with humanity, you know. We know it, we see it in workplaces, we see it. Well, unfortunately, the body of Christ oftentimes, as an assembly of people, isn't exempt from that, and we want to be guarded on that because that's not something we should be bringing in with us here. You see what I'm saying? Deal with that between you and the Lord. Don't bring it into the tabernacle of meeting in that sense. That's a personal between you and the Lord. Again, God wants to keep it that way. Because eventually, those things have a way of being found out, don't they? Eventually. They just kind of, boop, 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 and they bubble up to the surface eventually. You know, and now they're made manifest. Now it's got to be dealt with. Because this is the way, the Word talks about it is the way it happened. God keeps it as few as people possible. If you don't resolve it, if you're not transparent and you're not honest between you and God, what happens is, then it becomes evident to one other person maybe. That other person says something, hey, I'm not really sure about this, you know. Where were you coming from with that, blah, blah, blah. And then you realize, well, you know, yeah, that's, you know. But then you don't really repent. You don't really turn away from it. Now, somehow, something else happens, and now three or four people know about it. And now they've come to you. Now it's not just you and them, you and the Lord. God wanted to keep it just between you and him. I guarantee you that's God's desire. God does not get any glory in yours or my fleshy stupidities, okay? Right? God doesn't get any glory in any of that. The only time he's glorified is when we're fully repentant and when God's grown us up a little bit in some of those areas and he's changed our hearts and he's changed us. So we want to be, this is a process, isn't it? We're all in this process and we want to let God do these things in our lives. And so this is why things find me. I don't need to go looking for them. So I really encourage that. I encourage if you become aware of something, spend some time and really pray for that person. Because oftentimes we can approach them. And unfortunately, brothers and sisters, the truth is, a lot of times the things that we pick out and see quickly is things that are our own weaknesses and struggles also, our own sin issues. you know, that we struggle with. So we got to be careful because, man, it's that plank eye thing, you know. Go get the plank out of your own eye to be able to see clearly to help someone else, you know, because it's easy to identify and pinpoint other people's problems, you see. Then we isolate it, we pinpoint it, and we, you know, we're clear about what's wrong with them. But we can't really see clearly, really, at all, because we're blinded by our own problems. And so the motivation when we talk to somebody is so important. I very seldom interact, you know, with people on stuff, you know, on stuff like that. I really like to let the Holy Spirit have his way with brothers and sisters in the body. I want it to be that way. You've got the Holy Spirit. God's speaking to you. By the time it gets to me, usually it's a big mess, you know. And it's not because I don't want to help or intervene sooner or something. It's not that. If I can, I do. But a lot of times, it's I just want to give a lot of space and let God, but know that God sees. We got to know that, you know. Teach it to the fewest people possible. Then eventually, it gets broadcast. You know, it gets not broadcast, but it gets, you know, brought up. And now it's a church situation. And, you know, it has to be dealt with inside the body of Christ. Gosh, that's awful. I got enough years that I've had to deal with all this kind of stuff, and it's just awful. I don't care for it. I really don't. It's very difficult, and it's hard, you know, for people to get through it successfully, and it's very difficult. And so it's really important for us to be praying for one another, you know, that we really let the Holy Spirit have his way in us. This is the law. For one who has a discharge, and for him who emits semen and is unclean thereby, and for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurity, and for one who has a discharge, either man or woman, and for him who lies with her who is unclean. So, think of the things, this is what gets really, it gets pretty crazy when you think about us as vessels and the kind of things that, you know, as that we have choices, you know, as to what type of vessel we're going to be. And as we choose, you know, you think of the things, you know, those of you who are married know for sure the kind of stuff that I could be talking about on some of this, but, you know, the kind of things. Well, now, gosh, nowadays, you know, the I don't know what the percentage is, but it's a high percentage of people have had some type of STD that are coming out of the world. I mean, it's a high percentage. And so, you know, now you've brought that into that. Now, even as a believer, because of the past, you've brought that into this union, you know. And these are realities. These are decisions that were made maybe long ago, but it's tragic, really, in a sense. Is that God's original design? No. Now, this is where it gets crazy, too, is there's people that have experienced, many have experienced tremendous injustice, you know, whether it was growing up or at some time period in their life, they've been violated somehow, and because of that violation, you know, the type of struggles, I know because of pedophilia, you know, incest and different things like that have gone on, that the things that people carry with them and have to deal with and work through on a day in, day out basis. You know, this is real life stuff. God is bigger than any of it. And that is what I am so thankful for. That's the good news that we have from Jesus Christ, is we have hope in Jesus Christ, that God's bigger than any of those hurts. He's bigger than any of these things. But this is reality, isn't it? You know, and this is what he's saying. Some people, you know, you bring this in, and this is why we've got to be so careful and so handle ourselves wisely and you know, really be guarded in our lives, you know, because I certainly don't want to add. This is why I'm careful when people start telling me dirty jokes. I got to be careful. I got enough dirty jokes in my head that I need to continually get washed out of my mind. I've been on a lot of job sites, brothers and sisters. I've just heard way more trash than I ever need to ever hear. And I don't want to. So if somebody starts, hold it. You know, no thanks. You know, I don't want to know. I don't want to hear it. You know, I've got enough trash. We can choose to be a vessel for honor, choose to be a vessel for dishonor. This is a scripture I want to close with tonight, is out of 2 Timothy. chapter 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. I really like that. Not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. You know, have you ever thought about in a work environment, and let's say there's three or four Christians and there's a dozen or more, you know, non-believers. Now, the Christians are lame enough sometimes, us, all of us, can be lame enough sometimes to start this discussion because this one goes to this church and this one goes to that church, and they get into these heady discussions. Now, my recommendation is if you have, go to the lunchroom, go drink, go get a cup of coffee somewhere with someone if need be, and sit and discuss the stuff. Don't talk about it around non-believers. You just whack them out. It just think about, I remember what I was like when I was in the world. I listened to that stuff. Oh, man, I just thought, oh, I'm so thankful I'm not part of that stupid stuff. That's what I thought. I thought, that is stupid. That's just completely ignorant. I don't want anything to do with it. That's the way I thought, because they were, you know, tit for tat about this and that and bang, 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 you know. And man, golly, do you realize how lame that looks to a non-believer? Well, I thought, aren't y'all Christians? Well, no, they drink a different brand of coffee than we do at our, you know, coffee shop at our church. So no, I don't think we're the same at all. You know, don't strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, the people listening in. This is just a practical example of that. People are listening in, you know. Think about it. You know, think about the other people around us. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. They spread this kind of cancer. Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that their resurrection is already past, and overthrow the faith of some. That was a doctrinal problem in their time period. And Paul's saying, okay, here's an example. Some of you may be pre-trib, some of you may be post-trib, some of you may be mid-trib in our gathering as we sit. You guys know what I believe, basically. I don't want to break fellowship with anybody over it. It'll be evident, you know, at the rapture of the church that what I believe is correct, and it'll be fine. But, you know, I'm not willing to split hairs with any of you about it. No, I say that jokingly, but the reality is, it's probably true, but I share that, though, because this is the kind of thing for them when they would talk about the resurrection. If they talked about it as if it had already happened, the people that were alive as believers felt like, well, what's the hope for us? The resurrection has already transpired. We're just kind of existing here and we're going to die. And that's it. There's no hope past this. God help us all. You see how toxic that was for them. Christianity was just, boom, just happening. It was the first shockwave of Christianity was reverberating around the earth, you know. That was the first time it happened. It's just, people are just kind of getting saved and, you know, they're trying to figure out. I mean, they didn't have this. Hey, well, you know, here's your New Believer's Bible. You know, Greg Laurie wrote some cool stuff in here. Rawl wrote some cool stuff. Pastor Chuck's notes are in there. None of that was handed to anybody. You see what I'm saying? It was just, wow, man, you know, some guy shared with me, I was down at the creek, and I talked to this other guy, and then all of a sudden we got led to the Lord. You know, now I believe in Jesus, I really do. But the full concepts of theology and all this, it was just not totally there yet. You know what I'm saying? And this is people that were without, these are pagans, they were not familiar with, you know, Judaism or any of that, that it kind of came out of. So they didn't have any past to build off of. You see what I'm saying? So when someone would say something like that, it was a big, huge stumbling block to them. We've got to be wise. We've got to be careful. We've got to use our heads and know that, man, we don't want to be like Hymenaeus and Philetus, who are of that kind of a sort. They strayed concerning the truth. And it overthrew the faith of some. It really stumbled some people. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood, clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. Now, obviously, we can't clean ourselves, right? You know, he's speaking in a term that we would understand, and that the people reading, you would know that Timothy would understand this, you know, that you know, you can't clean yourself. But he's saying, if you give yourself wholly over to the Lord and let the Lord cleanse you. And again, how do we do that? Washing the water of the word, you know, confession. You know, we've talked about the way to be cleaned up. He says, we can choose. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor. That's what we want to be, sanctified. And use, so sanctified, set apart, that's what that means, set apart, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Isn't that great? That's God's desire for all of us, that we would be sanctified, set apart, that we would ask the Lord to wash and cleanse our lives, to keep us right with Him, and that we'd be prepared for every good work. Man, useful for the master. Man, don't you want to be useful to the master? I really do. I just think, you know, that is so great. Just think about it, you know, that Jesus, man, there is nothing more thrilling than when you know that you know that you know that Jesus is the one that tapped you on the shoulder and asked you to do something. And man, I will be relentless. If I know that Jesus has asked me to do something, I am relentless. I do not want to stop anything. I want to stay, like, you know, absolutely firm in my direction. I don't want to look to my left. I don't want to look to my right. I want to do exactly what God's asked me to do, because the master has asked me to do it. You know, I don't want to look around for the wrong dumb burrow. I want to go directly to where Jesus told me to grab the burrow and grab it. I don't need to ask much questions. Why do you need a burrow? What do we do with the burrow? It doesn't really matter to me. If I haven't read enough of the Bible to know what we're going to do with the burrow later, then, you know, I guess I'll just have to watch and find out. Fair enough. But I want to do what the master's asked me to do. I think that's really the heart of part of this tonight, is that, you know, this idea of secret sin or things, there isn't, it's not real. That's a game you're playing in your own mind that the enemy's trapped you with, you see? Because God, it's all open and apparent to God for all of us. And so we want to just be transparent with the Lord. There's freedom in this. That is what's exciting. Satan wants to keep you trapped with the past. You know, so that's why he's the accuser of the brethren, always bringing up the past. He wants to keep you trapped with it. He wants to keep it, you know, you're locked into that, you know, just don't talk about that. Just, yeah, you know, no way. I'm not going to do it. Flee youthful lusts. I think it's interesting. It doesn't say flee lust in your youth. Flee youthful lusts. Interesting. Because therein lies the danger. It doesn't matter the age you are, but we're to stay away from the lusts and youthful lusts. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. And he's talking about people like Hymenaeus and Philetus. You know, basically it's kind of talking smack. I don't know if that's the best way I could describe it. They're just trash talking, and they're saying things that they shouldn't be talked about. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just they're flapping their yappers about things that shouldn't be discussed. And therefore, it stumbles others, and yet really, they're not a vessel being used by the master, see? They've been taken ensnared and captive and doing the will of the enemy. Isn't that a bummer? This is why we want to be careful. This is not the only place that this type of concept is mentioned in the scripture. But when we talked about that, you know, the vessel's got to be broken in Leviticus at the latter part of the part with the guys and the discharge. In that area, he talked about the vessel is being broken, you know, and I think there's a lot to that for us, you know. God's placed that treasure, you know, in us, earthen vessels, he says, and we want to run with that information that we have, sever the sin and the stuff that can tangle us up, and just run with the Lord and trust him. Let him have his way in your life. shine the secret sin. It's not worth it. It's not worth messing with. It's not worth dilly-dallying around with. It's best just to confess it and move on. Father, we thank you so much for your word that really washes and cleanses our hearts and minds. And we just pray that you would help us to remain usable for you, our master, that we might bring you honor and glory. Lord, we love you. We thank you and praise you for who you are and just ask that, Lord, your word would take deep root in our lives so that we might bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.